Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this morning's reflection service by Shotgate Baptist Church. It's Louise here, and I hope you're all well and are having a good week so far. It's Sunday, the 31st of May 2020, and we are continuing to record our services remotely due to the social distancing measures put in place to try and stop the spread of coronavirus. Obviously, we're hoping that we'll be able to meet in person soon, but it's good that we're able to share this time together. Today, we're going to be looking at two passages as we continue to reflect on the Psalms. Polani has a day off, so whilst there won't be a sermon as such, I'm going to be sharing some thoughts for us to consider this week, and I hope this will be an encouragement and a challenge to us all. As we begin our service, I've asked Maureen just to say a word of opening prayer to bring this time before the Lord.
Morning, everyone. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our provider, our maker, our protector, thank you in these difficult times for allowing us to have the opportunity to be in your presence again today. Although we are not together, Father, we pray as we continue our service that we will feel your presence within us and that we may be refreshed in you. Be with us, Lord, and bless our time together. Amen.
Now, the first of our Psalms today is 91, so Karen is going to share this with us. Please do read along if you have a Bible to hand. We're going to be using the NIV version.
The reading today is from Psalms 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will not only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on a lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honour him. With long life I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen.
Thank you, Karen. There are some fantastic words there, which we'll take a little look at later. Now we're going to listen to a couple of songs now. Pam is going to lead us in two songs as we worship God from wherever we are. Please do sing along if you know the words at home. Otherwise, just listen to them and just enjoy this time in the presence of God this morning. So the first song is Jesus, Lover of My Soul.
Thank you.
Our second song this morning is Faithful One. Thank you, Pam. The second psalm that we're going to look at today is 121, and John is going to read this to us. Again, please do read along if you can.
Psalm 121, a song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore.
Thanks, John. Now, as I was flicking through the Book of Psalms, I was struggling to narrow it down to just one to look at. There's just so many amazing teachings in the Psalms. I'm sure you're familiar with many of them. But both of these chapters that I've chosen today had stars or notes beside them in my Bible. I imagine that, you know, in the past they've been really significant to me, and it was quite nice to refresh my memory as to when I'd heard them and those teachings that I'd heard many years ago that were significant to me at that point in time. As I read them, I felt that both those psalms actually correspond quite nicely together, so I thought we'll share them both today together. There's an awful lot in them, of course. We could take months and go through it line by line, but for me, the main thing that comes out is of God's protection and his shelter for us. These are concepts that we know of in our head, but I would like for us to think about them a little bit more today, to really know them to be true all over again in our hearts. There are so many words within these psalms that depict this theme. There are things like dwelling, shelter, fortress, rest, cover, refuge, help, protection, and God watching over us. These kinds of words conjure up imagery in our minds and help us to recognise and take hold of the real security that we have in God. When we trust in him, we have his protection and the security of his plans for us in our life. Let's look at Psalm 91 first. Something that I noticed when I was reading this is the idea of dwelling in God's shelter and him being our protector through life. This is referenced at the beginning and in the middle of the psalm. We can see the wording is extremely similar in verses 1 to 2 and 9 to 10. Have a look for yourself. For me personally, that makes the purpose of the writer's thought clear. They wanted the audience to understand that security and to know it for themselves. I'd started to think about this service last week. And then when we read last Sunday with Polani and Pam those few verses from Psalm 27, particularly in verse 5, made me think, hang on, that sounds quite familiar. So as a reminder, verse 5 of Psalm 27 says, "For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock." As I continue to look at these verses, God was reminding me that we are in him. We do not have to be in a building or a physical church to dwell in the Lord. By putting our trust in him, we can make him our dwelling place with all the blessings that it brings. And of course, he dwells in us as well. We have his spirit inside of us. It's not just when we meet together on a Sunday, but all of the time. He hasn't disappeared just because we can't go to church on a Sunday. He is in us, still using us and growing us as he always has been. Sometimes, whilst all of this recent situation has been unfolding, I've felt a sense of helplessness and uselessness. We're stuck inside. What can we do? How can we show people Christ's love for them? But I've been reminded through reading these Psalms that it's not about us, it's about what God can and will do through us as individuals and as a body of Christ here in Wickford. As I'm sure we all know, he moves in mysterious ways. We may never truly see what seeds he has sown through us, but another believer, another church might do in the future, in many years down the line. Let's thank God for all that he does through us in his mighty power, even if we can't see it. For making us all individual with our different gifts and personalities, our different life circumstances, our friends and family, and those around us, they make us individual. So let's pray for those invisible seeds that might be sown around us, for fruit to come in its time. I felt that John chapter 14, verse 23, helped me to understand this a little bit more. It says, "Jesus replied, 'If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him.'" That is such an amazing image for us to think on. I remember that process of trying to find a home with my husband. It was such a long, drawn-out process. It was pretty horrendous, to be honest, but we were so thankful that we had that building at the end and we could actually enjoy the process of making it a home. It's hard work, of course, endless DIY, cleaning and gardening, but seeing things come to fruition gives us a sense of achievement. And of course, the whole process brings us closer together and strengthens our relationship. How fantastic is it that God loves us and will make a home with us if we ask him to? Now, Psalm 23, we looked at a few weeks ago, also uses this word dwelling. It's one that obviously we're all very familiar with, Psalm 23. But that line in it, "Surely all the goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This verse is a reminder for me that also this dwelling place and God's dwelling in us is not just for the here and now. Forever actually means forever. When we have our trust in him, we can look forward to that dwelling place for all eternity. Now, death isn't something that I think about particularly frequently. It's obviously not a very nice topic. But of course, there are times in life when our thoughts go that way. Something prompts us or challenges us. Something happens in our circumstances. So for me, it's important to read parts of the Bible that remind us of eternity, heaven, and our never-ending salvation. After all, our life here is so small in comparison. It's a challenge to me to remember and thank God for the provision he has made for us in the gift of salvation through Jesus' death, the ultimate sacrifice which gives us this assurance. It's also a challenge to me to make sure that I don't keep it to myself. It's obviously not appropriate to be bringing that up all the time, but those around us should be able to see God's peace and love in us as his spirit gives us the words to say to explain this gift to other people so that they can know it too. Now, I'm going to move on a little bit to verse 4 of Psalm 91. Anyone who knows me knows I'm a big animal lover. I think the beauty of creation is amazing and the variety that we have in our world is fantastic and we should seek to protect it. My family are very similar. One member of my family in particular is a huge fan of birds. I can't count the number of different types of birds that we've seen, not just in the wild, but in different zoos, sanctuaries and wildlife parks across our travels over the years. In our home here, we have so many different birds in the greenery behind the house. It's so lovely to hear them singing, although obviously not in the middle of the night. Now, verse 4 in Psalm 91 says, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge." What a fantastic image that is for us. It's an image we can relate to. It's a visual representation of how God protects us. He doesn't fly us away to a different place to get away from the bad weather or a predator. He doesn't stick us in the nest and then sit on top of us. But he covers us. He will stay there with us and wrap his everlasting arms around us. Now, personally, I don't see this as a bee hummingbird, which is the smallest bird in the world, but I don't think it would do a lot to have the wings of a hummingbird around you unless you were a flea or a fly. So in my head, when I read this line, I see a golden eagle or a great grey owl, one of those huge, strong, majestic birds with big fluffy feathers and a massive wide wingspan, which completely covers us and gives us a place of refuge where we can rest. Now, rest is a word that I'm sure we've heard preached on many a time. We know it's important, don't we? But how often do we actually do it properly? Over the last few years, various circumstances have forced me to consider rest in a new light and to see how valuable it is. It's not just a stopgap in between tasks, but it's a requirement. I looked up the definition of rest, and it's defined as ceasing work or movement in order to relax, sleep, or recover strength. Which sounds lovely, doesn't it? Everyone's different, of course. Some people might find going for a swim restful. Others maybe reading a book or watching telly. Others it will be gardening. And for others it will just be sitting still, enjoying the environment and their family around them. Each person is unique, and it's important for us to make time to rest in all of life's busyness, to stop and recharge, to reflect on the stresses of life that actually, if we take God's perspective, are they actually a big issue? We should trust these things to him. And having that rest also helps us to really focus on our relationship with God, and just having that peace and just stopping. Of course, we all know that God refers to the value of rest in his sequence of creation right at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis. I think the concept of resting in general, and specifically in God's presence, is so important to our health, to our faith, and quality of life in general. I'm sure there are many books and sermons out there on this topic, so I'll leave it with you to ponder. If we take a little look at Psalm 121, and particularly verse 5, it has another image for us. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. So I know that some people will love to sit in the sun. Others, like me, tend to seek the cool shade. It's been so nice recently to see the sun come out, hasn't it? It feels like we're moving into summer. A lot of the plants are out, the flowers. We've got so many bees in the garden, birds. It's really uplifting. But this verse again reminds me personally, I feel like it's saying that God doesn't stop the sun from shining on us, even if we don't like it. We need the sun for growth and vitamin D, of course, but he will provide us with shade when we need it for relief and to get through to the end. So for me, it says that in life, we won't necessarily have circumstances that we enjoy, and he won't necessarily make them disappear, not always, even if we ask him to. We might need those circumstances or challenges to grow, or it may be for reasons that haven't yet been revealed. But we have this assurance that God will give us his never-ending peace and metaphorical shade to help us get through it. So interestingly, verse 5 in both of these Psalms, 91 and 121, it references not fearing the day or the night. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon at night. Now, of course, there are many things that can happen to challenge us during the day and the night. It's reassuring, although basic, that God doesn't fall asleep. Of course, he doesn't slumber. He always watches over us. And simple though that is, I think it's really helpful to remind ourselves of that, because it's a bit of a mind-boggling concept that he watches over each of us all of the time. It's not like at work where he has a team of people to delegate this kind of observation to, but he himself watches over us. And that is a truth. It says it right here in the Bible. He will always be faithful to us. Like a loving parent letting their child play, explore and discover things for themselves, but watching them out of love and care. So he watches over us. He knows what we are doing. He knows what our life will look like. And at the end of the psalm, it says he watches over our coming and going, both now and forevermore. There's that word again, forever. He will be faithful to us forever. and we have his protection in all things, whatever time of day and whatever time of life we are in. Now, there are many things listed in Psalm 91 that Karen read that perhaps we would consider to be a little bit out there, a bit extreme. I don't know about you, but I haven't come across a fowler's snare or shooting arrows in my time. But of course, in today's life, there are so many other things that come our way in terms of danger, and that could be physical, spiritual, or emotional. And certainly, right now, we are living through a situation that is scary and uncertain, and is a danger and a challenge for people in so many ways. Now, personally, I don't believe that just because we're a Christian, these things won't affect us. Of course they will, and they do. And I don't believe that God's word here tells us that we will be bubble wrapped and protected full stop from everything in the world. We do live in the world. But we have his protection in different ways, and his spirit is in us to guide, challenge and comfort. So I would encourage you just to reflect on those gifts that he gives us and those assurances that he gives us throughout his word that he will be with us. That first line in Psalm 121. I've said this many times in my life when things have threatened to overwhelm. Where does my help come from? Where am I going to find help? And then, of course, that second verse, my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I always found it most helpful in school to learn something by repetition, by writing it and saying it out loud. So for me, saying that second part of the phrase out loud helps me to actually believe it in my heart, not just as something that I'm reading, but to actually take it in. God gives us his help. This amazing God that we have, who's made the heavens and the earth, gives us his help, and he gives us his place of shelter. So moving back to Psalm 91, just kind of looking at the end of the chapter there, just in those last few verses, what amazing promises we have there and what fantastic blessings we can take hold of. But look at what it says in verse 14. Because he loves me, and for he acknowledges my name. Now, those are caveats, really, from what I can tell. Right at the beginning, the author is issuing it from his perspective. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. As I said a few weeks ago, this is a two-way relationship. Yes, our God is loving and graceful and wants to bless us, and we could never earn the salvation that he gives to us. But we do have to trust in him. We have to commit to him and do our best to love him through the way that we live our lives. So let's not let the noise of life distract us or pull us away from these simple truths. And God assures us here that he will protect us. He will give us his refuge and his shelter. Now, of course, there are many things in these passages I haven't touched on. I've skipped around. So I'd really encourage you to read both of those psalms again and reflect on what the words are saying to you where you are. Different verses affect people in different ways. They mean different things to different people. So I would encourage you just to reflect on them and just to take them in, really. Repeat them out loud to yourself and just really think about what God has done for us. So we're entering the final part of the service. So Pam is going to lead us in a final song. It's Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, which is a classic. We all know it. Thanks, Pam. So again, just sing along at home, even if you just know the chorus, just belt it out at home. And then we'll move on to close the service. Thank you, Pam. So let's just pray together as we close this service. Father, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you would forgive me and for us for not reading it perhaps as often as we should. We know it's your living word to guide, encourage and challenge us. I pray that your spirit would awaken in us a fresh desire to read your words and learn more of you and to grow in our own walk to become like Christ. We thank you for all the truths we have read today, for all the blessings you give us that we have read about. We thank you that you are our shelter and our protection. We thank you that we have refuge in you when life is difficult. I pray for anyone who is struggling today that you would put your everlasting arms around them, that you would shelter them in your wings for a time so they know your presence and the peace that only you can give. Father, help us as your people to be more like you in all that we do, so that others will want to know more about this security that we have, this foundation on which we stand. Grow us in your spirit, challenge us and help us to put our trust in you each day for everything. I pray that you would bless everyone who is listening today, that they would know more of you in their lives, so that you would be given all the glory. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this time, whoever you are and wherever you are. I hope that you will know God's blessing through the things that you've read and heard and the things that I've shared with you today. I'd just like to read something as we close. It's from number 6. I'm sure it'll be familiar to many of you. It's called the Priestly Blessing. It's something that God told Moses to use to bless the Israelites many, many years ago. So I'm just going to say it to you today, from my heart to yours. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. As Polani would say, keep safe, keep in touch and keep the faith. Thank you and God bless.